Bibles to the book of Mark this morning. Thank you for being here. Good to see you. Well, you've been here a few times. All these visitors, thank you. I mean, anybody that comes, if you come here more than once, we're going to call you friends, call you family. Amen. We're glad you're here. And we're glad you're at the Abundant Life Tabernacle this morning. Good to see Brother and Sister Silvers, as I said, my old assistant pastor. And we've done many of nursing home. He's got me started in nursing home services. And we've just worked together. And they've been such a mentor and inspiration to me over the years. And I appreciate their faithfulness. And I'm glad they're here this morning. Amen. Book of Mark, chapter 6. And we're going to start reading in verse 32. When you're there, say amen. I may have told you the wrong book, wrong chapter. I don't know. Heard a ruffling of pages. But Mark, chapter 6. And when you're there, just give me a good hearty amen. All right. Mark chapter 6 and verse 32 says this, "And they departed into a desert place by a ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew them, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them. And Jesus, when He was come out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto Him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to His disciples. He set before them, and the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 basketful of the fragments and the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Anybody ever heard that story? All right. I was making sure I wasn't the only one. You know, sometimes you'll read something in the Bible and say, maybe I'm the only one ever see that. But I know that's not the case this morning. But I want to preach to you just from my heart and I want the Holy Ghost to help us. And I may not get over all of this, but I want to preach to you this morning on how many loaves have ye? I'm going to ask you a very personal question. How many loaves have ye? And I wonder today, if you could answer that question personally, I wonder how many loaves does Abundant Life Tabernacle have this morning? I just wonder. I want to ask you that question. And I want to present this message to you about this more kind of evangelistic to try to help us. But I want this burden to get on your heart. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You today and we thank You, dear Jesus. And we're here this morning looking for Your help. Holy Ghost, I want You to help me preach this Word, Lord. I'm at Your feet, God. I'm asking You as a preacher, as a pastor, Lord. Lord, I know this morning alone there's going to be millions of messages preached in America. But Lord, I don't want to just preach a message. I don't want to just say a word, God. I don't want to just come to this pulpit this morning, God, without influencing, God, without inspiring, without convicting your heart. God, I need You to help me preach Your Word. I ask You, Lord, I'm at Your feet today. Touch these lips of clay, Lord. Anoint this vessel, Holy Ghost. I'm asking You, Lord, search my heart, Jesus. Lord, I lay before You, God, prostrate, asking You to help me preach, Lord, Father. And Lord, most of all, help this church, help this congregation, help Abundant Life Tabernacle in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give You the glory, the honor, and the praise today in Jesus' holy and divine name, amen and amen. How many loaves have ye? I'm going to talk to you today about 4 different things in this story. When you read this story in the Bible, first thing I'm going to talk to you about is first this, compassion. Then I'm going to talk to you about the complaint. Then I'm going to talk to you about the command. And then I'm going to talk to you about the commission. So 4 C's today that I'm going to try my best to preach to you and try to help you understand this morning. When we read read this story in the Bible, we often miss, I believe, the greater significance in it. We preach it, we're teaching in Sunday school, we're teaching in VBS, and we talk about 12 baskets. There's so many things you could preach here. But we read this story in the Bible. We know that it's so important and so critical that we look at this because really, it's one of Jesus' greatest miracles. I mean, you have to think about it. He served bread that had never been in the oven. He served fish that had never swam in the sea. It's something amazing about this, that Jesus took these two fish and five loaves, and there fed, some believe, around 15, maybe 20,000 people, when you read and fully understand, because it said 5,000, just man. But how many knows today that God is a provider, that God is somebody that can multiply, that God is, no matter what is in your resources, it doesn't matter what you face or what you're going through, when you come to the end of your resources, when you look at situations that are seemingly impossible for a human to come to meet the need, thank God that there's a God in heaven that does not have to go by natural law. He doesn't have to go by anything. But this God in heaven has the ability and has the anointing and the power to produce things that never even existed before. When we read here in the Bible, there's a few things we can take note of. But first thing I want you to look at is in verses 32 and 33. Notice here that when Jesus and His ministry here, He was going to a desert place by ship privately, which tells us that Jesus here, He was on the water, He was getting in a boat, He was going to a secluded place to try to find some privacy here, maybe a little R&R like I'm going to try to do this week, amen. I mean, He was going maybe just to get away a little bit, to maybe go and pray and get along with His disciples. But the Bible says this, and the people saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran afoot thither out of all of the cities, outwit them, and came together unto Him. So we look here. I heard a brother preach a message on that one time. He called it outrunning the wind. He said them men and the women ran faster than that boat was. When the wind was blowing in the sails of that boat, these men and women noticed that Jesus was on that boat, and they took off. They got on Pat and Charlie, which is your legs, if you don't know what that is, legs and feet there, and they took off running as fast as they could, and the Bible says they outwit them. I want you to notice the desperate plea and the cry that is in their hearts. They seen Jesus and they did not want Jesus to leave them. They seen Jesus, they knew He was a miracle worker. They had, many of them believed He was the Son of God. They had listened to Him teach. They had seen the miracles. And we'll understand later the full context of the story. Some were there just because they wanted some good bread to eat. Come on now. But understand this, that these people were so desperate to be with Jesus, they could not bear Him leaving them. So they ran to where He was. My God of heaven, I wish again we'd get somebody that would not be content with Jesus just touching you, or Jesus trying to find you, or Jesus trying to meet your need. But my Lord, I wish somebody would put legs on their prayers, legs on their faith, and say, Jesus, even though You're not coming to me, I'm going to go to where You are. That's what we need again in the church world, in this life, in every individual. Sometimes I call it welfare Christianity. We sit in church, we wait for God to drop something in our laps. We wait for God to convict us of this and convict us of that. But what about somebody once again? Why don't you run to where Jesus is and quit waiting for Him to run to you? Why don't you do something to get to Jesus? Just like that woman with the issue of blood. It wasn't about Jesus getting to her. She got to Jesus. Hear me again, friends. If we are a church, if we're going to be a church world, we've got to be a church. If we're going to be the body of Christ, we've got to be able to get to Jesus. No matter what you're going through, you've got to get to Jesus. No matter what you're facing, you've got to get to Him. I ain't out of words. I'm just waiting on the Spirit of God. Because this is on my heart. You need a miracle? Get to Him. Situations in your family? Get to Jesus. It's so easy to get to everything else in this world. I mean, I'm guilty. Got a headache? You can get to the Tylenol. Come on. It ain't hard. And I ain't preaching against Tylenol. But I am telling you that we do it by default and we don't even notice it at times. We'll find it so easy to get to everything else. I mean, sometimes we've got to get to our job, and that's okay. Sometimes we've got to get to this appointment, and that's okay. Sometimes we've got to get here, and that's okay. Sometimes we even got to get to church, and we never get to Jesus. Some may be worried about getting to lunch. We got to get to Jesus. That's what we must do. These people had a desperality in their hearts. They wanted to get to Jesus. But then we notice something here, that when Jesus noticed how desperate they were, when Jesus saw that the effort that they put forth, the Bible tells us this here, and Jesus, when He come out, saw much people, and He was moved with compassion towards them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. It tells us here that He began to teach them many things. So notice this here, with these people being desperate, they had enough energy and motivation to get to Jesus. And when they got to Jesus, Jesus saw what they did. Jesus was moved with compassion, so He sat down and began to teach them. You want God to move sometimes? Let Him see you get desperate. Come on. They would have never ate of this miracle. They would have never seen Jesus produce this 5,000, feed the 5,000. They would have never seen God do this if they were not desperate enough to get to where Jesus was. And that's what must be in your heart. It doesn't matter what you're in. You got to think of it on this scale. It is so important. It is critical. It is essential for revival. It is essential for souls being saved. It is essential for healing. We've got to get to the Savior. And when He sees your desperation, He knows that you're helpless. He knows that you don't have ability. He knows who you are. He knows you through and through. And when you get to Him, He will be moved with compassion. This word compassion in the Bible, we've done it a horrible injustice in English. And we've done it a horrible injustice in America. To us, compassion is, oh, I got you a sympathy card. Get well soon. And look, here's a lollipop. If our compassion is on that scale, you don't get the biblical concept of it. Compassion in the Bible is different. Compassion in the Bible is waiting. When we read this word of compassion in the Bible, it means to have, literally, it means to have your bowels yearn. It means a deep pit in your stomach filling. It is something that doesn't just touch you and you forget about it in 5 minutes. Have you ever seen anything or witnessed anything? Maybe a tragedy, maybe something you heard about, maybe something that just took you by surprise and you felt it down in the pit of your stomach. You knew that it was something that just ain't affected you that bad. It was nothing you could have just rolled over and go to sleep over. I mean, it was something that was down in the very pits of your stomach. You felt it. You felt the pain. You begin to cry. You knew it was something that you couldn't believe it really happened. That is what compassion means in the Bible. It is nothing that is just, it's almost like being there and feeling it, but you cannot sit there and still be the same. You are going to be moved with something that tries to identify and tries to relieve that pain, that suffering, or that situation. I was moved with compassion last night in prayer. I felt it in my stomach. I weeped, I cried, I moaned. And I asked the Holy Ghost, God, Lord, is this what you're feeling? God, I'm willing to go through this burden. I'm willing, Lord, I'm willing for you to share what you want to share with me. We must understand when it comes to compassion, first thing we got to understand is the essence of compassion. The essence of compassion does not shun, but it identifies with. So that's like seeing somebody. Like in mission work, say for instance. You go past a person that's homeless, and you look at them and you say, well, have a good day, I feel bad for them, you walk on. That's not compassion. Compassion is something that really identifies with. It doesn't conform to it, but it identifies. It's something that gets down where they are. It's like today if some of you were going through things, and me as a pastor, I would trust God. Lord, help me feel compassion for that individual, that I can get down with them, that I can talk with them. Hear me today, friends, because I've seen it. It is plaguing the church world. So such uncompassion, it's just moving and moving. Why don't parents have a good God in relationship with their children? Because the parents don't have compassion. Yes, I said it and it's true. I've witnessed it place after place. Oh, he's just going through that stage again. He's just rebellious. What about sit down with him or her and say, honey, I don't know, this is the fruits of the situation, but what's going on in your heart? I know everybody won't open up to somebody. I know some children are rebellious here today, but we've got to be moved with compassion. You said, Brother Darren, give me a very good example. I would love to. His name was Jesus. Jesus didn't just look at humanity. Jesus didn't look at us in our fallen nature and just say, man, I hope they can keep the law. Thank God for Mount Sinai. Thank God for 10 commandments. Thank God for 300 and some ordinances. Oh, I hope they can tough it out. Oh no, but Jesus looked at humanity. He did more than give us a law at distance. But you know what He did? He left the hallways of heaven. He got down on your level when you couldn't get up to Him. He just related with you. That is the essence of compassion. He identified with us. He put on flesh just like you have. He went through trials just like you go through. He was rejected just like you get rejected. He was whipped, scorned. He took all oppression. He died on Calvary. You know what that was? That was compassion. Abundant life tabernacle. I know we are. But we have to ask God for revival. Not only that we can see souls won, but a revival of compassion. God, let us feel. God, put it in me, Lord. When's the last time we got down and prayed and said, God, let me feel this? When's the last time we came to church and we had unction and we had a burden? Hear me, friend, it's easy. And let me caution you, because this is what the Holy Ghost placed in my heart. It's easy to walk through this life with the religiosity and all the different things. It's easy to walk through this world and never have a burden. I'm going to be mean, not mean this morning, but I want you to hear this. If you came to church this morning and didn't have a burden for the service, you're wrong. It's that simple. If you came to church this morning and just said, man, let's get this, you're wrong. If you come to church tonight and you don't have a burden or an unction for the service, and I'm not saying, look, I ain't telling you go on a 40-day, you can go on a 40-day fast as God leads you, but I am telling you, let's come to this church and let's feel what God's trying to do. It's more than me and you, friends. It's what the God in heaven wants to do. He wants us to be moved with the essence of compassion. He wants us to identify and relieve and help. That's what we have to do as a church. Pray for a burden. And if you don't have a burden to pray, pray for a burden to pray. You ever got down to pray before? And you can be honest. You ever got down to pray before and there wasn't a burden there? Our Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've said that out of just memorizing it. I used to say that every time I got down to pray until I studied the prayer out. Now I say it different. Because I have to understand, I was got to relate with Jesus and the compassion. Look, you say, look, Brother Derek, praying's boring. It may be if you ain't praying in the Spirit. It may be if you're not looking for that burden. We've got to have a burden. We've got to have the essence of compassion. Hear me today, friend. Not only the essence of compassion, but what about the expression of compassion? The expression of compassion is towards humanity, it's towards one another, and it's towards the lost. Let me just ask you this, and God help us all. Let's end this. We're in the same boat. But when's the last time you had such compassion with somebody across the aisle that you say, you know what, God, I'm taking them to the prayer closet this week? When's the last time, you know, I seen it work this morning, God move. Brother Neff said, you know what, I was going to pray over this, but we're going to pray for Sister Elise and her niece she's going through. That's compassion. That's expressing compassion. Not only do we have to have the essence of compassion, not only do we have to have the expression of compassion, but we have to have the effect of compassion, which is the reality of Christ when it is revealed. We read throughout the Bible here, it says, and some have compassion, making a difference. Are you going to be that percentage or that decimal of people in this age that is selfish, that is egotistic? Are we going to be part of the church world that's going to make a difference? There's churches that run 2,000 people that don't make a difference. It's easy. You know, you can put probably 5 blow-up slides out there in that big yard. We could fine-tune everything just to fit everybody in the world. You could fill this church up in no time. Especially if you have this activity here, and we're going to have this night here. Look, there ain't nothing wrong with having a bit to hear me today, but that does not mean you're changing people. That does not mean you're making a difference. Just because there's a little bit of growth or something, that doesn't mean you're making a difference. When the Word reaches that, when the Spirit of Christ reaches in, when the Holy Ghost begins to work in lives, that's what makes a difference. And the essence of that, the effect of that, and the expression of that is going to be when people and individuals pray for it and have a burden for the lost. Jesus came up on these people. He said, they are as sheep without a shepherd. We look here in the Bible, when we read that term, you can find it in different places. In Matthew it says this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Hear me today, friend. They were exhausted. They were beginning to lie down like sheep. Just picture this in your mind as these thousands of people, they're coming to where Jesus is. They're falling down. They are sitting down in the grass. They are sheep without a shepherd. They have been done injustice by the Pharisees. They have been so exhausted. It said here, it says in them, he had compassion on them because they fainted. You look that word up in the Bible, it means they were exhausted. Exhausted. You ever come to the house of God and you're just exhausted? You've been there. You're exhausted with what's going on in the world. You're exhausted with what's happening on your job. You're exhausted with what's going on in the situation of that situation. You're exhausted with what's happening in your family, whatever the situation is. But you are exhausted. You're at the point of fainting spiritually. And the Bible says when Jesus saw them, He says they almost fainted. They are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And we look at this in the Bible, we can see the compassion of Jesus because the Pharisees and the religious leaders completely and utterly just rejected them. They were not leading them. If you're exhausted here today, I want to point you to the Good Shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. You may be on the point of exhaustion. You may be at the point of a breakdown. You may be at the point of throwing in the towel. But I encourage you today, sit down at the feet of the Good Shepherd because He'll do anything to get to you. Just picture that shepherd in the Bible. When a lamb would go missing. Can you picture him wading through the briars? Can you picture him crossing the streams? Can you see him climbing the cliffs, looking for that one little lost lamb, looking for those sheep that are wounded? And Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Hear me today, friend, because this is what I'm going to preach to you about is this. Not only was there compassion in this story, but there was a complaint. My Lord, you ain't got to go far to find a complainer. It doesn't matter how good the food is in some restaurants. I've seen them. I always kid around my grandma. Whew, I said, Grandma, take it easy on her. They don't have low-fat ranches. I don't think so, but it's all right. You ain't watched your figure that long. Don't try now. I mean, but hear me today, friend. There was a complaint. The disciples here looked at Jesus and said this. These people are sitting there. Jesus is teaching them. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came to them and said, this is a desert place and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Get rid of them. You know, there's situations like that in church. You'll have somebody new get saved in church. I've heard people say, just get rid of them. Send them away, Lord. Do this. The complaint here was this. The day is spent. I want you to notice this, though. The disciples saw a problem, but Jesus saw an opportunity. Isn't that just like Jesus? We've got some good traffic cops in church. They can identify problems. They can write citations. And they can say a lot of things, but do you witness opportunity? When they saw a multitude of issues, Jesus saw an opportunity. When they could see hunger, disease, and all these other negative things, Jesus saw faces and hearts. Just like today, we can look at this world, we can look at situations, we can say, well, there's hunger, there's disease, there's drugs, there's lust, there's perversion, and we say, oh my Lord, send it away, get rid of it. But Jesus sees faces and heart, and He sees an opportunity to reach them. Talking about compassion, how many loaves have you today? Send them away. Get rid of it here, friend. That's what the disciples were saying. And understand this today. Then came the command from Jesus. He says this. They said, what are we going to do? They're hungry. We're in a desert place. And all of a sudden in verse 37, the Bible says this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, give them something to eat. Do you see what Jesus did here? They came to Jesus. Lord, there's issues, there's problems. Get rid of it. They're hungry. Jesus looks back at them and says, all right, give them some bread. Give them something to eat. Don't just identify the problem, but feed them. Don't just label the issue, but help them. Jesus had worked miracles before in the presence. He wanted His disciples to operate in the Spirit, but they always tended a lot of times to respond in the flesh. They kept saying, how? We can read also in John 6 and 5 about this same story. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? You know, you see what Jesus is doing here? He's telling Philip, Jesus sees a multitude of people. He looks at Philip and He says, Philip, we need to feed these folks. What are we going to do? You know what Philip should have said? Jesus, I don't know how you're going to do it. I ain't got a loaf of bread to my name right now. You know, we're just going around and we eat when we can. Jesus, I don't know how we're going to do it, but you're going to do it. But no, Philip here in the Bible, after Jesus said, give them something to eat, Philip answered to Him and said this. And Jesus said, when shall we buy bread and give these to eat? Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them, they may take a little. Pretty much what Philip did, he got out his calculator. Jesus said, hey Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Where are we going to get all this bread from? Well, Philip took his calculator out, so to say. Well, Jesus, man, that's a lot of bread. But then if you include taxes, you know, the Romans, they're pretty rough on us. If you buy that much bread, and you know, we're going to have to let the bakery know ahead of time. We'll feed them tomorrow, you know. And then, you know, maybe if we put a pre-order in, you know what? Maybe my mom's got some coupons. I don't know. I don't know what he said. But we know this, that Philip in the Bible, he began to multiply in his mind. He looked back at Jesus and said this, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. And I want to warn us as a church today, friend, because we have a command from Jesus. Jesus looks at Abundant Life Tabernacle this morning and says, give ye them to eat. That's the command. Reach them. And many times we look at situations and we're just like Philip. And we say, well, Lord, I'm looking at this. It ain't going to work out. I don't see how we're going to be able to house this or maybe do this. But we read the Bible here. Anytime we read in the Bible, anytime Christ commands you to do something and you look at Jesus and say, how? You just operated in the flesh. Jesus says, do this. You look at Jesus and says, I don't know if I can, Lord. What you going to do, Lord? How? We just operated in the flesh and we're all guilty for this at times. Anytime Christ commands us something, we are very different. We are very, even just try at times to say, Lord, how are we going to do it? And then that's when the commission came. The commission came. Jesus looked at them in verse 38. He says, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Brought a piece of Wonder Bread up here with me today. Or it's actually nature's own, I think. I'm asking you, how many loaves do you have? Jesus is looking at you as an individual. And us as a body collectively. He's looking at us and He's telling us, go and give to eat. Go and give life. Go out there and do this. Each individual here. But then Jesus looks at us and says something like this, how many loaves have ye? And I'm asking today, how many loaves do you have? What do you have in your life that can benefit this world, that can win people to the cause of Christ? I'm not talking about just recreation and ideas. I'm talking about actually seeing people born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. How many loaves have ye? What do you have, church? I'm asking you as an individual. Jesus said this, and this is just, when we begin to read the Bible, we can read and put the stories together. The disciples begin to sit them down and I just picture it like this. Peter probably looked at the disciples and said, all right, boys, huddle time. Come on, come on. Jesus says, give them something to eat. They asked us how much bread we got. I looked, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got no bread. You ain't got no bread. Come on, boys. Let's come in. Let's get in the huddle here. I just see the disciples talking and saying, look, Peter, you go that way. Hey, beloved John, you go that way. Doubting Thomas, you go that way. Don't doubt everybody. Come on, just go that way. And you can go that way, and you can go that way. And I just picture in my mind as they're walking through there, and maybe they're walking through the multitude of people, and they're saying something like this. Does anybody have any bread? Does anybody over here? I see Peter, you know, he's pretty bold. He probably looked at somebody and says, give me your bread right now. And I don't know, you can probably put their characters together, how each one of them would have responded, but they went around and said, does anybody have any bread to spare? Does anybody have any? And the Bible tells us this. It says, Andrew in 6 and 9, it tells us in John 6 and 9, that there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What I want to present to you, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that among maybe 15 to 20,000 people, say it's even 10,000, that little boy was the only one with a few loaves of bread. You're not going to convince me that out of that many thousands of people, that somebody else in that multitude somewhere didn't have something to eat. But the difference is this, only the little boy was willing to give the bread up. Boy, oh boy. God comes to us. How many loaves you got? Don't tell him we've got any bread over here. He might require us to give up some of it. You know, sweetie, shh. You know, honey, don't go to the disciples with our bread. How are we going to eat? And over here, you maybe had this family. I believe people were tucking bread everywhere. I believe some of them were saying, look, I know some of them, but did you hear in the story? You have a hard time convincing me this little boy was the only one with bread. But I just picture the disciples going over here. Do you have any bread? Do you have any bread? And all of a sudden this little boy is saying, I've got some. Isn't childlike faith amazing? I just see that little lad maybe hopping up and down. Hey, I've got some bread right here. Somebody else may have looked at their bread and said, you know what, I've got some, I don't mind giving it, but it ain't enough to feed all these people. And maybe somebody said, man, I'd like to give some of that bread to Jesus, but what if some of the disciples eat it? I don't know what kind of excuses they had, but I'm sure they had some. But this little boy here, I just picture him jumping up and down. I just see him out of excitement. He's there with that bread. He's saying, look here, I've got some. He had his hands up. He said, you know what? And they took this little boy to Jesus. Hear me today, friend. You may not have but two fishes and 5 loaves. But I tell you, if you give it to Jesus, you would be surprised what He would do in your life. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised if everybody here would just give Jesus what they had. If every individual in this room would just give Jesus what they had, Jesus would multiply in abundance. And I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about your life. We look at the story here. How many loaves you have you? There are 2 principles of the loaves, and there's a deeper context to this. But I'm going to leave it alone for right now. It's another sermon for another time. But the 2 principles of the loaves is this, that first and foremost, the loaves have to be presented to Jesus. If you do not present your loaves to Christ, you will find that your resources are going to run out pretty quick. You try to do something in your own, but when you give it to Jesus, it will not fail. You have to surrender your life to Jesus. When we read the Bible, we can understand this. And really the deeper context of it is this, that the true bread in the Bible was this. They wanted to make with Jesus. There was a spiritual application. 4 times He said He's the bread of life. It represented the cross, the death, and the crucifixion being given for others. But hear me today, He was the bread of life. But when Jesus left, and when after His resurrection, He looked at Peter and He said something like this. Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. The context falls back on us. So we understand first and foremost that this, we've got to present our loaves to Jesus. And the second thing is this, the loaves have to be broken. Anything Jesus uses, He's going to break. Let me tell you why this world hadn't been evangelized like it should probably. Because I wish every preacher would be broken. If every preacher would be broken, if every Christian would be broken, we wouldn't, this world would not be able to contain us, break our self-will, our self-desires. So understand this, first and foremost, we have to be broken, just like at the feeding of the 5,000, they gave Him the bread, and then He broke it, then He consecrated unto the Lord, and then He gave it out. At the Last Supper, you know what Jesus did with the bread? He broke it, He consecrated it, and then He gave it out. But you know what Jesus did at Calvary? He was broken. And then He was dispensed out to the world. If you want to be of any effect to this world, you would tell you what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be broken. As my wife comes to the piano, I want to ask you this question once again this morning. How many loaves have ye? How many loaves have ye? What do you have to give this world? And that is my cry to you this morning. If you would stand to your feet.